What's good, Dallas? This is your girl, Brianna Javon. And if you've been thinking about starting a podcast or taking yours to the next level, I've got you covered. Book a podcast power session with What's Good Productions. In just 30 minutes, we'll tackle your ideas, crush those hurdles, and get your podcast ready to shine. Visit whatsgood-productions.com or click the link in the show notes. Now let's get ready for the show.
About 173 million people in this country have some form of food allergy or dietary need. They will not eat in a place that they don't believe or are aware or trust have a suitable option for them. So if you don't publish this information in a way that they can access it and understand it before they come or when they walk in and look at the menu, they're not going to come. You're going to lose that customer. And if you lose that customer, you typically don't just lose that customer. You lose their family, their friends, their coworkers. And so that's a huge revenue loss.
The What's Good Podcast.
Are you ready?
Your number one source
to all the keys in the industry.
With Brianna Javon.
It's the What's Good Podcast.
What's good?
Hey, ladies and gents, this is your girl, Brianna Javon, and we are here with another episode of What's Good Podcast. We are super excited to share another story with you guys. Also, this is a wild card Wednesday. As you guys know, for people who don't necessarily fit within our theme of the season, as always, want to go ahead and continue to share stories. And this one, we have an amazing guest with us. His name is Dylan. How are you today?
I'm great, Brianna. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. And so we're going to talk about all things food. And for people who have dietary restrictions, me doing my research is bigger than what I thought, right? So we are going to tap into that. And we usually start off with who is the guest. So for you, who is Dylan McDonald?
Sure. Well, why don't I give a quick background? So I'm a bit of a confusing one. You probably hear an accent. I was actually born in Philly originally, but grew up in Ireland. So I consider myself mainly Irish. Corporate lawyer by trade. So I worked in big law for a while. That journey took me to Australia. I lived in Sydney for a number of years. And while I was there, started Foodini. And the reason for starting the company was diagnosed with celiac disease. So I'm sure many of your listeners will have themselves, if their family, their friends, their coworkers, a food allergy or some form of dietary requirement. And yeah, I was one of those people. And just over, you know, 20 odd years, I became more and more frustrated with just how difficult it was to navigate dining out of home full stop. Like, why was there so little information? Why did I keep getting served the wrong food or getting sick when I, you know, ate in certain places? I just couldn't understand it. And then the more I dug in, and it sounds like you did the same research, the more I dug into like just how big of a market this is. Because, you know, you think this is your own little problem and that no one else really has it. But, you know, 33 million Americans with a diagnosed food allergy. 50 million Americans with a food intolerance over the top of that. 70 million Americans following some form of lifestyle diet like vegan, vegetarian, keto, paleo, low FODMAP, you name it. And so, yeah, I just couldn't wrap my head around why there was no real transparency into ingredients and allergens in food, and moved to the US about 2 years ago to kind of tackle the problem here. And it's been great. That's me.
That is beautiful. But I hate to hear that was your own personal experience. But usually that's for businesses, you know, a lot of times that's how they happen. And so for you in this situation within your journey, when did you realize that something has to change? Nothing is working. I'm still having issues and problems with these restaurants. I need to make a change. I'm going to do it myself.
I think it was a build-up. I don't know if there was necessarily, like, I suppose I'm lucky, right, in one way, in that there's a lot of people who are anaphylactic. And like a trace of, you know, peanut or something like that can literally be like life and death for them. And I've heard thousands of stories at this point about people who've had those experiences. For me, you know, when I get served the wrong food or eat the wrong thing, I'll be quite sick the next day, but it's not going to kill me. So I think it was more just again and again, you know, every few months, or, you know, just having that experience repeat itself. And then, you know, doing all the right things and asking the questions and, you know, doing the things that I was trying to do to protect myself and still not having the experience I needed. And really, it came down to learning over time, as I have doing what I'm doing now, that it's just the data didn't exist. Like, the data that is required to allow consumers to dine safely simply isn't out there. And so that's kind of the problem that we're working on solving right now.
Beautiful. So when you say data, for people who don't know, right? what does that process look like for a restaurant to have that type of data? Is that because of the experiences, or is that a total separate menu for people who have certain dietary restrictions? What does that data actually look like?
Yeah, so essentially, the easiest way to kind of explain that is to explain how we work, right? And it'll kind of make sense as to why it's so difficult then. Because I do want to say, we have huge empathy for restaurants and for the food service industry in terms of most organizations want to, you know, publish this information and make sure consumers have a safe experience. It's just really hard for them to do it. And it's because of the whole ecosystem and the supply chain. It's not a simple thing. And so to do what we do, there's kind of three main buckets. We need to take menu data from the point of sale system or their online ordering menu or whatever, which has the menu, modifiers, etc. Then we need to take recipe data, which typically, if it exists, sits within inventory management or recipe management systems, which is kind of what is every ingredient in every item. But then we also need to work with the manufacturers, the distributors, to be like, okay, you said there's white bread in that item. What brand of white bread? Because there's 20 different brands and all of them have different ingredients and therefore different allergens. And so it's not enough to just say bread, cheese, blah, blah, blah. No, we need to actually know the exact spec of that product to be able to do what we do. And then we take all of that data, aggregate it, enrich it, and then we have accurate allergy information that we can then personalize to the consumer, which we can come to later. So the point is, there is no magic pot of data that restaurants can tap into to publish this to consumers. It takes, if they were doing it themselves, you know, it takes a bit of work or a bit of time to actually get this right and accurate and keep it up to date. And so what we do is we actually just simplify that process. This is what we're experts in doing. We come in, we do it for you. And then we also have a personalized experience on the consumer side that is far superior to, you know, a static PDF.
Beautiful. Okay, so within these situations of a restaurant, right, the process would be for them to send you all of this information, like you mentioned, those three buckets. And then from there, because now I'm just trying to put it together in my experience going to restaurants. I have seen it at the bottom where it's coded, like this is gluten-free or this contains peanuts or this contains dairy. Is that the final product that you guys create for these restaurants, or is it just a total different menu?
So what we do is we have a digital experience. So essentially, we put a QR code on physical menus and we put a button on the website of a restaurant, you know, on the generally in the menu section as well. So the QR will say food allergies, dietary needs, scan here. So consumer scans or clicks the button on the website. It brings up a URL, like a web page experience, so they don't have to download an app or anything. The consumer then can select from 150 different food allergies and dietary needs. So they can say gluten, eggs, keto, low FODMAP, save. And straight away, we'll customize the menu to say, here's exactly what you can eat. Here's exactly what you can eat with a modifier and what that modifier is. And here's what you can't eat and why, because it contains this ingredient and that ingredient. So it's a completely personalized menu instantly based on the dietary profile that you create.
I love that so much. So it actually speaks directly to them once the customer can go in, look at the menu and say, okay, this is my eating restrictions. And then from there, you have those options. Love that. Okay.
Exactly.
And so I want to know, when it comes to collaborating with these restaurants, now I'm about to get in your business when it comes to marketing. How are you marketing the business to say, this is what we're doing? And I see the benefits, right? You're explaining the benefits, but sometimes people can be stuck in their own ways. How can you let them know, as far as these benefits, that this is actually what's going to support you and also get ahead of your competitors?
It's such a good question. And it's funny. It's like, look, there is an education and awareness piece here as well. I wear kind of a new form of technology. This isn't something that restaurants have typically looked at in the past. Bear in mind, we're also not just restaurants. We can work with stadiums, schools, universities, anywhere that serves food. Our technology is equally prevalent, but restaurants and hotels are our bread and butter. But there's so many, but starting at the top, I said about 173 million people in this country have some form of food allergy or dietary need. In particular, the allergy and people who take those intolerances and lifestyles serious, they will not eat in a place that they don't believe or are aware or trust have a suitable option for them. So if you don't publish this information in a way that they can access it and understand it before they come or when they walk in and look at the menu, they're not going to order. They're not going to come. You're going to lose that customer. And if you lose that customer, you typically don't just lose that customer. you lose their family, their friends, their co-workers. Their work Christmas party can't be at that restaurant anymore because it doesn't cater to Dylan the celiac. And so that's a huge revenue loss. And it's also a huge revenue opportunity for the restaurants that do take advantage of this by publishing this information. And as you said, it's absolutely a competitive edge. And also, the other key point here is these consumers are the most loyal consumers in the market because they find it so hard to find places that they actually trust and that actually cater to them. When they do, they keep going back. So you have the revenue on one side. Then you also have, we see a massive reduction in the number of questions being asked to staff, about 60%. And currently, those staff members are the only line of defense between the consumer and a mistake. And as I think most people know, most staff in this country are not trained to be experts on every allergen and every ingredient and every menu item. And so by reducing the number of questions, not only do you save on labor costs and efficiencies and line management, you also dramatically reduce the number of mistakes that happen. And so we see a big reduction in mistakes in venues. We also then have data. So we can tell a restaurant, last month in X location, you had 1,000 dietary profiles created. 40% were gluten-free, 25% were vegan, 10% were keto. You actually don't have any keto-friendly options on your menu. If you swap out this ingredient and these few menu items, they would all become keto-friendly. That could drive your bottom line by Y. So there's a lot of data we can give around menu optimization and then also just on consumer profiles from a marketing standpoint, which then allows you to say, well, I know Dylan is celiac. So now on World Gluten-Free Day or when we add a new gluten-free option to the menu, that's the email we're going to send to him. That's the push notification. That's the, you know, we're going to target him accordingly. So I think they're probably the three big buckets in terms of revenue gain, saving time and reducing risk, and then marketing ability as well and menu optimization.
I love that so much. Okay, so my next question is the kitchen.
Sure.
Now that we have this data, now we know we can divide and conquer the menu, right? We're getting options that we can swap out. We know that these are the different things to help now moving forward with the consumer. When it comes to the kitchen, do you guys, is that upon the restaurant to now train the kitchen to say, okay, these are the new things that we're doing now? Or do you or your team do like a stop by to make sure that the regulations, like how does that part go?
Yeah, no, great question. So I think the first point there is we don't make the restaurants make any changes to their menu. All we do is we reflect their reality. So we'll ask the restaurant, hey, restaurant, you make this salad. What do you offer in terms of modifications currently, today? And they will say, oh, you can take out this and this, but you can't take out this and this. So we just reflect that reality. We don't change their menu whatsoever. We just reflect their reality and break it down accordingly. So that's kind of the first point there. We don't actually change menus. In terms of the training, we offer a training session as part of our onboarding. But we recommend to all restaurants in the country, whether they ever use Foodini or talk to us whatsoever, get your staff trained on food allergens. There are a lot of organizations out there that do it and that have certified programs. Fair have a training program. Menu Trimful do a great training program. There's a number of companies out there that do this. And it's so essential because your staff still are that line of defense between, you know, they need to understand that this is important and that they need to take it seriously. And so we tell every restaurant, number one, bare minimum, make sure you get your staff trained. Number two, bare minimum, make sure you document your food allergies and ingredients somewhere internally. Even if you, again, don't want to use Foodini, that's completely fine. I don't mind that whatsoever, but still recommend that you document this information so it lives somewhere in the house somewhere. And then number three, we then recommend that you obviously find a way to put this in front of consumers. And if you'd rather use the static PDF or do it yourself in-house, totally fair. Obviously, if you want a technical solution, that's where someone like us will come in. But yeah, you have to train your staff. It's just, it is, in my mind, the bare minimum.
True. Totally understand that. Absolutely. Okay, so my next question is, now that we are in LA, right? I lived in LA for about 6 months. It was an internship. And there's a difference between the food out there and the food out here in Dallas. I love my Dallas food, but there's a big difference. When it comes to scaling, what does that look like to do, let's for an example, New York, let's say Baltimore, I recently went to Baltimore, to do these other different places that also need to increase education, now collaborate with Houdini, et cetera?
Yeah, so I would have answered this question very differently a month ago than how I'm about to answer it now, and I'll tell you why. And it comes back to regulation. Up until 3 weeks ago, there was zero regulations in the United States of America anywhere regarding food allergies in restaurants. The only requirement broadly in the space was around nutrition. If you have 20 plus locations in the US, you must tag your menus for calories and have that document. That's why if you go into Sweetgreen or Chipotle or McDonald's, you'll see the caloric intake on every menu item. 3 weeks ago, Gavin Newsom signed a bill called SB 68, which for the first time in the US mandates restaurant groups with 20 plus locations, if any one of them is in California, they're caught, to label their menus, physical and digital, for the major 9 food allergens. And so for the most part, in terms of who this captures, it captures pretty much every national enterprise brand and mid-market brand, unless they just happen to not have a location in California, which is some, but the majority do have a location in California, given it's one of the biggest markets in the world. So what that means, and the effective date is 1 July 2026, so it's only 7 months away as well. So it's actually a very tight window of implementation. So what that means now is all these groups have no choice now but to both document this information and to publish it on their menus in front of consumers. And so we've been talking to a lot of these groups, obviously, even before this, but now as part of this. And obviously, they now have to do it for all of their California locations. But most of them are also saying that because they're going to the effort of putting this in front of Californian consumers, it's the same information for the most part in all of their other locations around the country, right? So they're, and the thing with most chains, they want a consistent experience everywhere. So I highly expect that in New York and Dallas and Houston and New Orleans and everywhere else, these groups that have locations there as well are going to take the same approach and publish this allergen information in front of consumers. And so this is also the first bill to pass in this space. There's a bill in New York going through the process at the moment, which actually covers all locations as it stands, not just 20 plus. The senator in California has already committed to go back and get it to cover all locations, not just 20 plus. And there's bills starting in other states to do the same thing as well. So where I'm going with this is, we believe that in the next few years, this is actually going to become a requirement across the board for all restaurants in the country. And so your question was around, you know, the differences in different states, and I think expansion. And so for us, our focus now, honestly, is largely on these brands that are obviously captured because they have to do something. And so we're nicely placed, obviously, to work with them. But we get inbound every day from restaurants all over the country who, yeah, mom and pop shops to hotels to bigger groups who, again, they've known and they've wanted to do this for a long time in terms of they know allergies are important. Maybe their kid or their wife or their neighbor has one and they know how hard it is. They wanted to be able to put this information in front of the consumer, but it's hard. And they were like, oh, I just don't have the bandwidth. It's going to take me ages to do it. And I'm going to have to, how am I going to keep it up to date and blah, blah, blah. And that's, I think, our main message to these groups is that this is all we do. We specialize in doing this quickly, efficiently, accurately, and we're very cheap as well. So this is not something that is in any way going to scare any operator in the country who wants to publish this information. So this is coming anyway. And we're saying to these restaurant groups, get ahead of the curve, take advantage of the fact that you're one of the first to move, tell your customer, it allows you to tell your consumer base that as part of our ongoing commitment to cater to all members of the community, we've created this dietitian-approved personalized menu to enable a safe and inclusive experience for all of our patrons. That by itself is marketing gold. So, you know, get ahead of the curve and, you know, jump before you're pushed.
I love that so much because pretty much you are ahead. Like as far as your business is already ahead of these new bills that's now being incorporated. And so for me, when I think about that, I think about innovation, you know, because a lot of times people try to figure out, ooh, I need to create this business. Ooh, I need to create that business. And is it innovative? What type of solution are you going to resolve? Are these the type of questions initially you thought about when it came to creating your business? Or were some of these things where it just grew with you as you were creating the business and going through your journey?
Yeah, I think, oh, it's definitely it pivoted over time, 100%. Mm-hmm. Like we've learned so much, you know, because you start, right? You start by talking to thousands of consumers about their allergies and their problems and their lifestyle diets. And, you know, we started, I think, day one with the major nine and vegan and vegetarian. Then every day we got a new email saying, I have a strawberry allergy, I have a kiwi allergy, I'm allergic to ginger, I'll follow a low FODMAP diet, blah, blah, blah. So you kind of got this onslaught of consumer feedback in terms of what they wanted to see. And then working with more and more restaurants, we just kept seeing why it was so difficult, because different tech stacks, lack of data, supply chain issues, you know, manufacturer or, you know, swapping out ingredients one day without telling, like, there are all these things that make it tough for restaurants, which is why we empathize with them so much. Like, again, as I said last a minute ago, this is tricky to do properly. And so we've absolutely continued to iterate both on the consumer facing products and on the restaurant facing back end and how we integrate with other tech partners to streamline this and, you know, essentially trying to make this as easy as possible for everyone. But ultimately, the goal from day one was to provide transparency into what was in the food when you're eating out, in particular for people with allergies and dietary needs. And so the mission and the vision hasn't changed, but how we're going about it and who we're trying to work with and who we partner with to achieve that absolutely has changed multiple times as we've continued to go down the rabbit hole.
Yes, I hear you like to do a pivot.
Yeah. Listen, you got to do what you got to do.
Absolutely. Okay, so last question. Why the name Foodini? How was that created and why?
It was a play on two things. One, obviously the word food, because that's massively what we do. And then Houdini, the magician. I think we tried to tie together the magic of Houdini in terms of like magic, we personalize your food to you. And yeah, just kind of tie the Houdini there, or the Eni into the food, I think gave us that magic, which is what we were trying to go for from the consumer side. And yeah, I think the feedback we get on the name and the brand is overwhelmingly positive. And I think most people remember it, which is great. And yeah, no, we love our name and our brand. Thankfully, we landed on a good one.
Indeed. Okay, well, Dylan, tell the people that's listening how they can get in contact with you if they are a restaurant, if they are a kitchen, whatever the case may be, and how people can follow you to stay updated with your journey.
Absolutely. So our website is foodini.co. My email address is Dylan, D-Y-L-A-N, at getfoodini, GETFOODINI.com. Feel free to reach out to me anytime. LinkedIn is also a pretty good place to get me. Dylan McDonald, you should be able to find me pretty easily. The last thing I'll say as well to any consumer or guest out there who has, or their family member has a food allergy, we do have a discovery app in beta as well on the app stores. Feel free to download it and check out the experience and kind of how we position menus and how they actually look within our ecosystem. It is in beta in LA at the moment. So if you're in Dallas, I apologize, you're probably not going to see any location. So I don't want to give that expectation, but we love to hear feedback from the community around how we, you know, what they like, anything they think we should improve on. You know, we collaborate with the community all the time. And for any restaurant owner or anyone who knows a restaurant owner or a business owner who serves any kind of food, always love to connect. And even if we're not the right fit for some reason, you know, we're pretty deep in this space and should be able to connect you with someone who can get you what you need. But again, we love collaborating with everyone and anyone. So please do reach out if this resonates.
Right. In the app, I didn't even ask this. Is there a way to say my favorite restaurant? I think that this should be a collaboration. Can people recommend restaurants for you to reach out to?
They will be able to soon. It's a great question. It's one we've looked at for a while. Honestly, our main focus has been making sure that data is accurate and personalized. Like that's constantly our number one is data has to be correct. And so that is making sure the experience speaks to that has been the priority ahead of the kind of call it referrals and recommendations on the community side. But absolutely, Brian, we're going to have the ability for consumers to recommend restaurants, review restaurants, share restaurants with their friends, collaborate dietary profiles, group searches, find the best suitable option for you and your friend group, all who have different dietary profiles. This is all stuff we've tested and we will be rolling out in due course. But yeah, for now, it's a great experience, I think, but we haven't added all the bells and whistles as yet.
I love it. All right. So I'm just want to put it in your court. If there's anything you feel like I've missed today, anything you want to leave with the people that's listening or watching, if you have anything, let us know.
No, just listen. I suppose we're very lucky to be working in a space where I think our technology positively impacts a lot of people who currently really struggle to navigate, you know, a lot of things that a lot of people take for granted in terms of just being able to walk into any restaurant or environment and order whatever the hell they feel like on that day and go about their business. For a lot of people, that is just not the reality. And so we love doing what we're doing. It's great to make an impact on the lives of so many. And ultimately, we also really enjoy driving business and making things a lot more streamlined and easier on the restaurant side as well. So yeah, all I'll say is, if anyone resonates with any side of the mission or what we're working on, love to talk to people at any point in time, reach out. And yeah, looking forward to coming to a restaurant near you shortly.
Absolutely. Well, I want to thank you so much. Go ahead, Dylan.
I was just going to say thank you very much for having me on as well. I really appreciate you and your time.
Thank you. I'm so excited for you to share. This was actually our first experience hearing about a business like yours. So I think this is marvelous. So thank you for sharing your story. And for everyone that's listening, thank you so much. If you're watching as well, thank you so much. And if you're listening to this morning, noon, evening, or night, thank you so much for being a part of the What's Good community. And we'll see you guys next time.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of What's Good Podcast with your girl, Brianna Javon. If you found today's discussion inspiring, don't forget to hit the subscribe button on your preferred podcast platform. Explore additional resources on our website at whatsgood-productions.com and find our social media links listed in the show notes. Stay tuned for more captivating stories ahead. Until next time, stay blessed and keep uplifting your community.